Promptings by the Spirit. Promptings by the Spirit. Because the Godhead is one, and I've been speaking to you recently about God, who's one divine Spirit, who ever eternally manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But because the Godhead is one, there is no real distinction between having God with man, Christ with man, and Jesus with man. And that is why it is important to hold to the fact that God is one divine Spirit. Because when you start from there, you will then begin to realize that there's no distinction between having Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, and the Father in you. You have his fullness. You have the Godhead within you if you're truly born again. Of his fullness you have received. And turn, if you will, to John 14, verses 15 through to 26. Because here, John reveals this. He reveals that you have the Father living within you. Because he cannot be divided. And in John 14, 15 to 26, here we begin to see this working that takes place within us. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which I hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. There it is. Quite clear, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who doesn't love my word obviously doesn't love me. He who loves my word, keeps my word, obeys my word, that is a sign God lives in you. And that is why Jesus said, by the fruit they will be known. So it is not wrong to say that God lives in you, Christ lives in you, the Spirit lives in you. And that is why Jesus revealed the Spirit living in him, guiding, leading him. He revealed that he was one with the Father, and he did nothing except what the Father revealed to him. They are the leadings, the promptings of the Spirit. And in maturity, in sonship, this is what God is now bringing this assembly into. This should start to be your experience. As you hear the word week after week, you should be beginning to experience what the word is saying. If you're not experiencing it, then you have to seek God to find out why, when you listen to this word, that this word is not confirming my experience. Because most who come up to me week after week, who want to share or share what God has shown with them, I hear every time that that is their experience. That is confirming what the Spirit is doing in my life. And that is what the preaching and teaching of the Word of God should be. Even though we're taught by revelation, because that's the only way we can know God, we can understand God, have our eyes and open, is that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. He is revelation to us. But nevertheless, it should be, or should be started to be, our experience. That is the point. And that is why we have the promptings of the Spirit. Now, we spoke about God being one, and that you have God with man, Christ with man, the Spirit with man, but in functions we do see a differentiation. For example, Father is the source. Jesus is the Creator, the Redeemer. He was there at creation. And the Holy Spirit is the agent, or He's the giver of life, both in creation and in redemption. So we see the functions that take place within the Godhead. When God deals with us, the Spirit never works without the entire Godhead actively involved. So as God deals with you, as He delivers you, or He saves you, He heals you, admonishes you, blesses you, never independent of the Godhead Himself. John 14:16. I'll just read it to you again. He says here, 14:16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." So the Holy Spirit's ministry is a ministry and work that will work forever in your life, not only in this world, but in eternity. And that is why He can be blasphemed. Simply because of the nature of the function of His ministry is an eternal work and ministry. His ministry is not just for this life, as we've heard, but His ministry, His sustaining, His life-giving power is that you may be saved and eternally saved forever. In the new paradise, in the new Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit will still be giving you life, sustaining, keeping you, ever pointing to the Father, giving glory to Him, even though they are one. Yet we're seeing in their function there is a distinction. I have to point this out because this is going to help you to start to understand the promptings by the Holy Spirit that works in your life and my life. Now, the Holy Spirit empowers the Christian for ministry. That is why we make much of the baptism of the Spirit. In receiving the fullness, again, I show you that analogy that we give is where when you're saved, Jesus is with you. When you're baptized in the Spirit, He now is in you. And there is a difference. It is that anointing, that dunamis power, the baptism of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit empowers a Christian, obviously, for ministry, for witness, our general walk, our walk with Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to intercede for the believer. So the Holy Spirit comes baptizing to move alongside, to empower you for ministry, for witness, for the gifts of the Spirit, for also for intercession and so on. Why intercession? Why in that area? Because we do not know what the Spirit is saying otherwise. Romans 8:26, which you know very well, I'll read it to you again. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." That is why the Holy Spirit, as we pray, as we intercede, as we speak in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, they really are the promptings of the Spirit. The promptings tell us what the Godhead is saying, what the Father is saying to us, what Jesus is saying to us, what in his oneness he's saying to us. They are the promptings. So he tells you about prayer. He tells you a burden to pray for someone. Or he leads you to someone for a season. Or he moves you alongside. Or he may quicken you in a meeting. You become impressed. Or let us pray for someone. Or whatever it would be. They are the promptings of the Spirit. That comes from the Father. His heart. Because remember that what the Spirit does is what Jesus does and the Father does. They do not do it independently. You see. Now the anointing of the Spirit is to obviously bring illumination to Scripture. Revelation. That is the function of the anointing. That is why you have to sit under the anointing. That is why you respond to this word, because it's given to you not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit. It is the prompting of the Spirit that gives it to us. That is where God says, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. They follow the anointing. They follow what cannot be revealed by flesh and blood. And that is what sorts out who are God's people and who are not. That is why you cannot respond to man's bondage, man's ideas, his education, his corruption, all that sort of thing. You can't take it. I can't. When at times I put my ears to it, or somebody say, oh, listen to this or whatever it is, if I know that's of the Spirit, I can't respond to it. In fact, many times I can't even listen to the end. I just think, I'm wasting my time with this. I've got more precious time to listen to what the Spirit is saying. You just do not identify. Why? Because it's of the world. Sometimes it's of their father, the devil. It's the devil speaking. You can't listen to it. Why? Because there's no prompting that comes from it. There's no help. There's no edification. There's no feeding that comes from this. And that, of course, is why we test the spirits, you see, in 1 John 4. So it is that precious anointing that illumines the Scriptures. What is it saying? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. I'm labouring this in almost a doctrinal way so you can know and understand what is taking place in you, why the Spirit prompts you. God's not wanting you just to know of a prompting. That's important. But he wants you also to know why he prompts you by the Spirit, why he leads you, from a theological sense. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There you are. So the anointing has to illumine the revelation of God's word to you, because the natural man doesn't know. But you are not a natural man or woman in that sense. At least I hope you're not. That is why you don't want to be natural like the world, and the way the world lives, the way the world acts, the way it goes on and so forth. You are not a natural person. You are a supernatural person. And that is not wrong theologically. You are born again. You are called out from. You've been snatched away from. And so now you respond to the anointing, because it is only the anointing that can teach you, feed you, sustain you. So you are sustained, fed, kept by the anointing of the Spirit that prompts you. Now you say to me, well, how does he prompt me? Well, he prompted you to come here today. Because you probably wouldn't have been yourself. You probably would say, oh, it's a lovely day. Come on, let's go down to the coast. Could do with a day off. Lovely, says the flesh. What's wrong with that? I wouldn't mind that. But the Spirit prompts and says, I've got something better. You see? 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know some things. See, you can't receive that, can you? Hey? You were prompted then. See, I tested you. You couldn't receive it. And rightly so. Rightly so. I'm glad about that. No, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, you know all things up to now, today, this moment, what you need to know. You know all things. Now, of course, the world would turn around and say, what arrogance, what pride. Who do they think they are? Well, that's why, of course, we don't cast pearls before swine. You see, there's the difference. You learn the wisdom. But that's what he says. What a promise. So you can receive, you can confess that promise. Thank you, Father, by the anointing you have declared in your word, I know all things that is needed in this life. There's a promise. How many have received that one? How many have claimed that one? Asked for that one? Hey? Not many, is there? There you go. What does it say in verse 27? But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. Any man, in other words, interferes with you, corrupts you, puts poison into you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So that anointing that teaches you, if God has graciously put that anointing upon a vessel to teach you, then you receive of that anointing, because it's the same anointing that teaches you. It's the same anointing that opens your eyes to the revelation of God's word to be taught. It's the same anointing. The same anointing that was upon Jesus, that is the same anointing that God feeds and teaches the church today. It's an anointing that can only come that is revealed by the Father. We cannot say or do anything other than only what is revealed. The same anointing. That anointing doesn't grow old. There's no time with that anointing. He always has been, and he always will be. And the very anointing that was there, the very anointing that spoke the world into being, the very anointing that clothed Adam and Eve when they fell into sin, the very anointing that was there at the flood, very anointing that made covenant over Abraham, the very anointing that called the children of Israel out of the wilderness, a nation under God, the very anointing that was in Christ, the very anointing that fell upon the church at Pentecost, the very anointing that's here today now is the same and changes not. Changes not. And that is why the Spirit prompts us. And he will reveal the will of God, which can be worked out in us in diverse ways. So if the Holy Spirit reveals, prompts us, then God is going to give the grace, the pardon, the healing, the mercy, compassion for that to be accomplished. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. and he will tell you all things to come. So here Jesus said to the disciples before going to the cross, the Spirit of truth has come and he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, whatever he hears he will speak. So what Jesus was saying in his own flesh, he was saying, I'm going, but I'm coming back. And at present, I can't do this in my own ability, in my flesh. But when the Spirit comes at Pentecost, then he has all authority and power, which of course is in the name of Jesus. And that is why church's eyes are blind to the fact that you baptize into the name of Jesus. That is water baptism. Jesus could not give that in his flesh. He had to go to the Father. The Spirit had to come to reveal to the church in the upper room who Jesus really was. Emmanuel, God in flesh, God incarnate. And his name is covenant name to you under new covenant. His name is Jesus. That is why. See? Now again, you've said amen. Do you know why you said that? Because the Spirit of truth reveal that to you. Yet I could say that to 1,000 in an audience, and some would see that and some will not see it, because it takes the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. And so when you heard that, or you've been baptized in the old denominational way like I was and so forth, suddenly that unction came, that prompting came, that desire came, that revealing, that revelation came. Hey, hang on, I haven't been baptized properly. I've got to do this. I've got to do this in accordance to what Jesus said. And so the Spirit moved you, you see? That's a prime example above many, many other things that he reveals and shows. So he comes and he prompts us and he reveals us, and he does it in the most diverse ways. How does the Spirit prompt? How does he work? Well, obviously he's going to work, he's going to convict, he's going to prompt you, obviously through the Word of God. He may be doing it this morning, through the preaching, teaching of the Word. They're just some things I know God is saying, he's prompting, he's showing me. I mustn't ignore this. I've got to move in accordance because he's doing this. He's showing me. You see? Now I said to you, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, he will never prompt you without provision. If he prompts you, or he shows you he's going to do something, or he requires something of you, or he's going to deliver you, or change, or whatever it will be, he goes before and prepares. His grace, his mercy is there. We cannot ever turn around and say to God, Lord, I can't do this. You are wrong what you are saying or what you're showing. The children of Israel made that sin. They ignored, they rebelled against the promptings of the Spirit. It is dangerous to do that. That is why we've been given the faith teaching over the years, so that everything God reveals, everything he illumines to us, our faith can say, well, it's impossible with me, but it is possible with God, and I believe it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it. That's all he requires. That's all he wants, because it will always be impossible. Change, deliverance, healing, moving on is always impossible. So don't ever think that the promptings of the Spirit will appeal to the flesh, will cater to the carnal intellectual mind. Never will. It will always challenge. In the flesh will always say, oh, here we go again. Something impossible. Something that you can't get over. You'll never get over this mountain. God's standard is impossible to keep. That's what the flesh will always say. What are you going to listen to? Are you going to say, yes, here we go, But God's in control. He has shown me. He's prompted me by the Spirit. Therefore, He will equip me to overcome, to change, to do what He wants. When the Spirit reveals to you, He opens your eyes or requires something of you, He will equip you to do it. When Jesus moved by the Spirit and He said, I can only do that which the Father reveals, what He was actually showing was that in His flesh He could not do it, but as the Father revealed, He simply didn't question it. He moved and acted in accordance and knew that the Father would supply all that was needed at that prompting. And He did. So if Jesus was prompted to heal, then the Father would supply the healing and deliverance that was required and needed. And He didn't question it. They are the promptings and leadings of the Spirit. That is what God wants to work this body into its experience. It must, if we are to fulfill all that God has invested in this church. So He's going to do it through the Word. He's going to do it through your time as you open up the Scriptures. Or maybe you become impressed that the Spirit is getting my attention and showing me something. And sometimes that can be over a period of a few days or maybe over a few weeks. Or He does it through circumstances. Or He can do it through other people. Or He does it through the gifts of the Spirit. But above all, He does it through the conscience. The conscience knows, the Spirit knows, your Spirit knows, you see, as the promptings of the Spirit begin to work. Sometimes He can do it through chastening or a loss of peace. We've had that. What is that He's doing? He's actually prompting you. He's prodding you. That's what it means. And He does that, you see, sometimes. Sometimes you've had to do that with your children. You've called your children and they've not listened. And He said several times. And sometimes you just had to touch them, haven't you? And they sort of say, oh, yeah, what did you want? It's like, where have you been? You've been miles away. You had to touch them, prompt them, see? And suddenly they respond. That's what the Spirit has to do with us sometimes. He actually has to touch us. And suddenly we, we become spiritually awake. And He'll do that. He'll do that. And so this empowerment to move forth is essential. The very power that was in Christ is the very power that's working in us now at this moment. You say, but I don't feel like it. Well, you know what I'm going to say as a result of that, because it is nothing to do with feelings. When you are moved by the Spirit, it will be nothing to do with feelings. And sometimes when the Spirit moves or prompts, will be a time and at a moment when you probably just do not feel like it, or you don't feel up to it, or whatever it would be. But again, this is where we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is why you have to be eternally called for this. And this is called the effectual call. There are two calls, as we know, that goes out. There's a general call, and within that general call, there's an effectual call. And so in that call, the gospel goes out. God works through the conscience. And in that call, you respond and you act. And that is a sign that you are eternally saved, that you've been called from the foundation of the world. And so if the Holy Spirit has called you from the foundation of the world, He's going to empower you. He's going to preserve you. For what purpose? To deal with you, unbelief, sin, hardness of heart, to work His word within you. That is why the Holy Spirit has come to seal you, preserve you. That sold sign that is on you. So that He can now begin to work in you and through you, teaching you, changing you from glory into glory. Isn't it a fantastic work what the Spirit does. Man could never work this one, achieve this one. How the Spirit can conform us into the image of his Son is an absolute miracle, is it not? And so that working in your life is a miracle that is taking place as you are being changed, as he works on your attitude, as he works on your life, as he works on your unbelief and delivers us from ancestral things. It is a work of a miracle that is taking place. But we have to be called before the foundation of the world. So if you're responding to the word of God, you're walking, keeping his commandments, that desire to change, to conform into his image, then you can be delighted to know that, as he says in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So you are the good pleasure of his will. This church today is the good pleasure of his will. This is God's will. Now, it'll be totally against your will in the natural, but this is God's will. And not only is it his will, but he takes pleasure in it, you see. And so in that calling, God will make us responsible. And that's why he makes us responsible for our actions and the way we receive this word. God never forces his word on anyone. But if you are of him, then you will respond to it. Something within you will respond. What? Why do you respond? Because it's the unction. It's the prompting. Something within you says, I can't rest till I deal with this. Or I take this before the Lord and I pray about this. They are clear signs that you are eternally called from the foundation of the world. And that is why, as I bring it now to its conclusion, that is why we should be hearing what the Spirit says today, now, to this church. It's vital to your growth, to your walk, your move with God. You shouldn't be sitting here and saying, what on earth is this preacher on about? What is he saying? And not only me, or if others teach, Bob teaches, if it is the anointing, if it is by the Holy Spirit, you may not understand it all doctrinally, but it shouldn't be something that says, I just do not know what he's saying. You know, it's not my experience. He's talking about, you know, God's doing this, God's saying that, and we should be hearing and so on. But I'm not. If that is happening, you have a chance to do something about it. You have a chance and a will to go before God and say, Father, I'm not hearing. I'm not keeping up. My brothers and sisters are talking about these things, are getting all excited about these things, but I ain't. Please do something with me. See? That's where you get saved. That's where you have a chance. That's where you can get right with God. And that's what I'm pointing out, that God shows us basic principles that should be functioning and working in their life. For example, the cross. You hear the cross being mentioned many times. But the question raised is, does the Spirit bring us back to the basics, which is the cross? Are you having problem with someone? Are you having problem with unforgiveness? Are you having problem with unbelief? The Holy Spirit's going to bring you right back to the basics. He's going to take you back to the cross, because that's where it starts. See? So you should know that. If you're battling things or you're finding it difficult to change in areas, he's going to bring you back to the cross. What does the cross reveal? That's where you said, I die. Simple. I die. That is where I have said, now Jesus lives in my life. So he brings us back and he finds us some problems where it's going wrong. You see? And you settle it there. Then deliverance starts to come. They are the promptings of the Spirit, you see. If God has to do a thing with me, or I'm not getting something right, I know exactly what he's going to do. He brings me back to the cross. Because there I have to die. I have to die to that area. I have to die to that. I have to settle it. Then the Holy Spirit will work it out in its healing and deliverance. And the grace and mercy, patience, long-suffering is all there as he brings me through. But I've settled it, you see. They are the promptings of the Spirit. And so never ignore the Spirit's out promptings, because he is revealing his will, help, guidance, deliverance, healing, whatever it is. That's what he's doing. He's revealing it to you. That is his love. That is his mercy. And that is why you can quench the Holy Spirit. That is why you can quench him. That is why you can blaspheme him. That is why you can damage. That is why he comes like a dove. That is his nature in your life. He has not come to control you, to take you over, to possess you. He will, if you allow him and let him, but that is not how the Holy Spirit works. Demons do not work that way. Satan does not work that way. He comes to control and take over your will, your life, to damn you, to destroy you. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. But he will work gently, and he will prompt, and he'll keep working. And he'll keep speaking, and he'll keep bringing it up. He'll keep showing that God wants change. He wants you different in this area. He wants you to glorify him. At present, you are not. They are the promptings. But God says, and the warning is, that my Spirit will not always strive with man. And there will come a point when the Holy Spirit will no longer work with man. And we saw the tragedy of that when the presence of God left Israel from the tabernacle. He finally, the prophet sees, finally he ascends above the tabernacle and he leaves. And that was the worst period of Israel's history. For 400 years before Christ came, she was without a teacher, prophet, no voice from the Holy Spirit speaking. Why? Because they had grieved the Holy Spirit. They had ignored time after time the prompting of the Spirit. God forbid that that should ever happen to any of us. And as I said now, whatever God requires, what he's doing in our lives, he's always provided the healing, deliverance, grace, all and more to do exactly what he's showing you. Else, what would be the point? What would be the point of God showing, changing your life if he could not provide for that change? And Jesus walked exactly the same. If the Father showed him, you preach to that crowd, or you heal that person, or you cast that demon out, what would be the point if the Father did not provide for that miracle? If the Father did not give him the words to speak eternal life? If the Father did not give him discernment to call those disciples? What would be the point? Now, Jesus had to meet God. He had to be open. There were some times when he fasted, or he went in prayer through the night, or got up early in the morning, but that was the Spirit working, prompting. You see? Because God knows we cannot keep his word. And the word, the revelation of God's word, was never given for you to try and keep. That's not its nature. That's not its source. That never glorifies God. What it was given to you was that both of us will walk together in agreement, in covenant, and we will agree and we will work it together. And that is your life, your walk in this world. You are in covenant with Jesus and you're working it together just the same as in a marriage. Just the same as in this church, as we're all together, one in Christ, working it together, each of us with Christ as our head. But it can only be done by the Holy Spirit.